intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Tyra Banks from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Essence. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine Online. Mary J. Blige gets candid about occasionally questioning her child-free choice. During a candid conversation with Michelle Obama, Blige opened up about wondering what motherhood could have looked like for her. This article is by Elizabeth Ayula. Your favorite rich auntie, Mary J. Blige, sometimes wonders about her decision to be child-free. While on the IMO podcast in August, hosted by Michelle Obama and her brother Craig Robinson, Blige opened up about moments that made her realize motherhood could be a rewarding path. Robinson brought up the singer's decision not to have children during the interview, and she explained what influenced that decision. I said a lot of things when I was younger, Blige, 55, told the brother-sister duo during the interview. She continued, I saw a lot of people struggling. I see a lot, you know, my family members needing babysitters and them not having a choice, no freedom. When you're younger, those are the words you make. Those are the choices you make. I don't want any kids, she said. The singer's stance on being a parent shifted slightly, though, when she began noticing the bond parents have with their kids as they get older. When you get older, you start to see how valuable their teenagers are to them and their kids to them, she explained. The singer paused before adding, so now it's like, oh man, but then you're like, eh. Although the Grammy Award-winning artist is having reflective moments about motherhood, she made it clear that her life is fulfilling as it is. She explained that enjoying her own company helps minimize feelings of loneliness. Sometimes I'm lonely, but I'm alone a lot, Blige said. I'm in my home, but we have a good time. We have a good time. I make sure we have a good time. We by ourselves, we watching movies, I be trying on clothes, I be watching movies, I accept it. It is what it is. I'm not trying to have company and friends. It's what it is. For the record, though, her friends do also fill in the gaps, providing the love and support she needs, and she appreciates them. I have a small crew of fabulous women. I'm fabulous. We have this type of conversation, she said. They have my best interests. They are my family. We all live in the same neighborhood, and if I need, I use each one of them for different things because they're all built different. But they're there for me when I need them. The singer hasn't experienced motherhood yet, but she has experienced love and marriage. She was with music producer Martin Isaacs from 2003 until 2016 when they went through a bitter divorce. In 2024, Blige publicly confirmed that she was happily taken and in love. She didn't disclose the mystery man's identity at the time, and it's unclear whether that relationship is still going strong. But either way, she's still doing just fine. How to make your textured silk press last longer. Celebrity hairstylist Larissa Ingrid tells all about how to achieve a textured silk press like Tracee Ellis Ross's and make it last. This article is by India S.B. Jones. Last week, Tracee Ellis Ross launched a Pattern Beauty's Heat Styling Essentials collection featuring silk press stars Anderson .Paak and Ryan Destiny. But while their bobs were silky straight via the new vibrating flat iron, Ross's long black hair proved not all silk presses have to be. It's the first time in years since Ross has been seen with straight hair. Naturally, her silk press was more fluffy, voluminous, and textured than the campaign's co-stars, which left her customers with one question. How silky does a silk press actually have to be? For Ross, it doesn't necessarily have to be at all. Heat is heat. It is what it is, Ross told Essence exclusively. Often seen in low manipulation styles like afros, blowouts, and cornrows, her textured silk press is all about heat styling without the damage, which is why the vibration is ensuring you have to do less passes so you don't have to keep tugging on your hair. Ahead, celebrity stylist Larissa Ingrid tells all about how to achieve Tracee Ellis Ross's textured silk press and make it last this season. Use the right shampoo. Buildup on your hair and scalp is what may be making you feel like doing more passes with your flat iron than necessary, and as a result, causing smoke and damaging your hair's cuticle. Instead, start with the right shampoo. My go-to product when doing a silk press is a clarifying shampoo, Ingrid says, like Pattern Beauty's Detox Shampoo, Sacred's Detoxifying Shampoo, or Kenra Professional's Clarify Shampoo. This preps the hair and cleanses it from all oils, waxes, or creams that build up in our hair during the styling process. If your hair requires more hydration, Ingrid says, a moisturizing shampoo is key to lock the hydration back into your hair. This sets you up for the heat styling afterwards. Use deep conditioner and leave-in. Conditioning is a must prior to a silk press. A conditioner can help boost shine, prevent breakage, and protect your hair from too much humidity, which will make your silk press last longer. I always deep condition and follow up with a leave-in conditioner, Ingrid says. Amika's The Wizard Detangling Primer, a 2-in-1 heat protectant and leave-in conditioner, is Ingrid's silicone-free go-to. Meanwhile, other conditioners and primers like Karakare's Humecto Cream Conditioner, Sacred's Moisturizing Deep Conditioner, and Pattern Beauty's new Blowout Primer are good options for silk presses as their formulas repair damaged hair, prevent future breakage, and boost shine. Avoid high heat, use less passes. If you are trying your silk press at home, I would suggest you monitor your heat level on your hot tools to prevent heat damage, she says. After you silk press, you want to refrain from the use of heat for a while. This service shouldn't be done every week to preserve your natural curl pattern. In the meantime, Ingrid recommends heatless curls to maintain your look, such as flexi rods, pin curls, or curl formers. To help monitor heat and lower risk of damage, the Dyson Corral Hair Straightener has regulated heat control up to 410 degrees, and Pattern Beauty's vibrating flat iron limits the amount of passes necessary for a silk press. Sweat, but not too much. It's true, a textured silk press isn't afraid of humidity, since a little moisture is what gives straightened hair its more fluff and volume. But according to Ingrid, your silk press can typically last up to 2 weeks by limiting sweat just a little. Moisture and humidity will revert your tresses to their natural state, she says. So even with a textured silk press, you want to refrain from activities that make you sweat too much. Ingrid recommends Amika's The Shield Humidity Spray, as it's a humidity blocker formulated specifically for muggy, wet weather or a day at the gym. Use a scarf at night. Make sure you cover your hair at night and during vigorous activities such as working out, says Ingrid. For the silkiest silk press, you should wrap your hair around your head and secure your style with a silk or mesh wrap under your scarf. But for textured presses, loosely pin curling or wrapping it up in a silk scarf does the trick. How Claudia Walker grew the Black Parent Group Chat to 40,000 members. What started as a simple Instagram reel by a mom of three is now a thriving nationwide community offering vital support and resources for Black parents. And this article is by Bridget Bartlett Royal. When Claudia Walker asked her Instagram followers to join her for a group chat for Black parents last November, she didn't fathom that it would evolve into the thriving movement that is Black Parent Group Chat, BPGC. In less than a year, the group has grown to 40,000 members from Northern California, where she's based, all the way to Queens, New York, with dozens of locations from large metropolitan cities to small rural towns in between. What Walker, a proud Spelman College graduate, has done with the BPCG is connect like-minded Black parents and caregivers while fostering community. Through the BPGC, she shares valuable resources that allow our youth to be exposed to a range of careers and opportunities from top-notch professionals through mentors, internships, Zoom discussions, and more. And she has done all of this for free. The wife and mother of three is not a stranger to pouring into children in significant ways. Walker is also the founder of the HBCU Prep School platform. Through this initiative, she has published several groundbreaking children's books, including the ABCs of HBCUs, the ABCs of Black Wall Street, and the ABCs of R&B. Now she has expanded her footprint to further pour into the lives of our young people, and we caught up with the former teacher just in time for the new school year. For back-to-school season, she opened up to us about why she started the BPGC, revealed what's next for the program, and answers those burning questions she always gets from other Black parents about giving our children the best foundation to succeed in and out of school. Essence asked, "What is your professional background? Walk us through what led you to wanting to nurture young people." And Claudia answered, I graduated from Spelman with a degree in English and planned to go to law school. Finance was never on my radar until I got an opportunity to intern on Wall Street one summer. I loved it and ended up spending 4 years in finance after graduating. Then September 11th happened. I lost coworkers and started reevaluating what I wanted to do with my life. A few years later, I moved back home to the Bay Area and took a temporary job in education. That was 22 years ago. Needless to say, I fell in love with teaching and eventually became the principal of a network of schools. How did you transition from being a full-time educator to an entrepreneur? I've always loved writing and tend to keep dozens of ideas on my laptop. As a mom, especially when my kids were younger, I was always looking for books that reflected the experiences, traditions, and values that were important to us. One day, my daughter came home from school and rattled off a list of colleges she wanted to attend, and not one HBCU was on the list. Months earlier, I'd taken her to visit my alma mater, but realized that one trip every now and then wasn't enough. That was the inspiration behind my first book, The ABCs of HBCUs. When did you launch the Black Parent Group Chat, BPGC? In November of 2025, I posted a video on social media and jokingly said that I was holding an emergency meeting for Black parents and asked who'd be bringing snacks. I never expected it to gain so much traction, but thousands of parents responded. A few days later, we held our first meeting. Today, we have 40,000 members. Incredible. Is the program free? Yes, the community is free. We have monthly virtual meetings with experts and share resources, programs, and opportunities for families. I'm also launching a private community for $39 per month that will offer more ongoing support, resources, and connection. Have you had any in-person BPGC meetings and or events? Yes, we had our first in-person meetup over the summer at University of California, Berkeley. We had 100 youth and their families attend. I'm looking forward to our first national meetup where we'll have workshops for parents and kids, activations, vendors, and more. What are the top three questions or concerns you hear from Black parents of school-aged children most often? The biggest question probably is, how do I prepare my child? Parents want to know what resources, programs, and opportunities are available to their children and how to make sure they're not missing out. I also hear from parents who are trying to figure out how to re-engage kids who have lost their love of learning or motivation in school. And community is a big one. Many Black parents are raising children in schools or spaces where there aren't many other Black faces, and they worry about the impact that can have on their kids. They're looking for a community of like-minded families who understand that experience. Have these questions informed your BPGC-hosted programming and events? Absolutely. A lot of our virtual meetings have come directly from questions parents are asking. It's also why I created our summer programs list, which has grown to more than 500 programs. This summer, Black Parent Group Chat kids participated in programs at Hampton, Howard, Harvard, Prairie View A&M, MIT, and Alvin Ailey, just to name a few. It's also a big part of why I'm launching the private community. There's only so much we can cover in a monthly meeting. Parents are looking for resources throughout the year. They want to be connected to other parents who are trying to give their kids access to these same kinds of opportunities. As the founder of BPGC, a children's book author, and a proactive Black parent yourself, what words of encouragement do you have for other Black parents during this back-to-school season? I would tell parents to trust themselves and stay involved. You know your child better than anyone else. Ask questions, check their schedule, get to know their teachers, and don't be afraid to advocate when something doesn't feel right. But also remember that school is just one part of their education. Some of the most important things we can give our kids happen outside the classroom through the experiences we expose them to the way we talk to them, and the way we help them see what's possible for their lives. I like to motivate my children using things they already love. My sons love sports, so we analyze their favorite players. We talk about the sacrifices they make to be the best, their belief in themselves, their work ethic, and then we relate that back to school or whatever goals my children have for themselves. I also make a point to praise them, not only for the things they accomplish, but for who they are as people. So when I see them doing random acts of kindness, I praise them for that. I remind them how valued and special they are. I want them to be successful, but more than anything, I want them to grow up believing in themselves and knowing that anything is possible. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are moving back to the UK, but is it that simple? After stepping away from royal life and relocating to California amid struggles with the British press, the couple are reportedly returning to Britain with their two children. This article is by Elizabeth Ayula and Victoria Umaroli. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry shocked the world in 2020 when they announced they were stepping back from their roles in the royal family and becoming financially independent. Years after going against the grain, the couple has decided to relocate back to the United Kingdom, People exclusively revealed. Beginning this month, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex plan to relocate with their two children, Prince Archie, 7, and Princess Lilibet, 5, who will start school in September. The move is surprising, considering the couple's choice to step back created a major rift with the royal family, and they cited security concerns, among other issues, as a reason for their move to the U.S., After stepping away from their royal roles, the couple were stripped of their level of security they received as full-time royals. Their new base in Britain will be non-royal, but, of course, private and closely guarded. However, they won't receive automatic taxpayer-funded armed protection or resume their roles in the royal family. In 2019, Harry launched a lawsuit against 3 major newspaper groups in the UK, accusing them of legal intrusion. Markle also filed an invasion of privacy lawsuit against the Daily Mail publisher, Associated Newspapers, which she won in 2021. Likewise, Harry won his case against the Mirror Group in 2023 and settled with The Sun in 2025. It seems the dust may have begun settling in 2025 when Harry was seen joining his dad, King Charles, for tea in London. More recently, in July 2026, the former Suits actress, Harry and their kids met with King Charles, who hosted them for the first time in years, seemingly taking first steps to put an end to the family feud. All ties won't be cut from the U.S., though. The couple, who have a home in Montecito, California, plans to keep their residence. Additionally, they will retain ownership of the property they possess in Portugal. During their time in the States, they attempted to take up space in the media industry, with Markle producing several docuseries, documentaries, and TV series, including Polo, With Love, Meghan, and Cookie Queens. Some are still in the pipeline. Only the couple knows why this move makes the most sense for them. Perhaps an olive branch was extended. Perhaps they were the ones to offer it. Perhaps there are things happening within the family that call for everyone to rally around each other. Both King Charles and Catherine, Princess of Wales, have recently faced cancer battles, the kind of ordeals that can put everything else in perspective. His treatment is ongoing. Catherine's is in remission. Could Harry feel he could be most impactful back in the UK? Whatever the reasons, the hope is that the family can offer real support and mend old wounds. As for the UK press, one would be naive to think the couple's return won't turn into feeding season. The coverage of the couple has been ugly since they got engaged, and Buckingham Palace's lack of support in handling the lies told about Markle left her feeling unprotected. Still, as they move back across the pond, we hope she'll be surrounded by the right people, those who will protect her peace this time, to be the protection she didn't get the first time around. If that protection can come from the rest of the royal family too, even better. The pair met in 2016 after being set up on a blind date by a mutual friend. By 2017, the couple was engaged, and the following year they had a grand royal wedding at Windsor Castle. The wedding drew global attention as Markle made history as the first person of color to marry into the modern British royal family. We hope she's able to thrive as she starts a new chapter in the UK. Malcolm Jamal Warner's wife and daughter honor him with a posthumous birthday celebration. Following his passing in July 2025, the two celebrated the late actor's birthday the way he always loved to. This article is by Elizabeth Ayula. Over a year after actor Malcolm Jamal Warner's death, his widow and child are still picking up the pieces. The late actor's birthday was on August 18th, and his wife, Tanisha Warner, kept their family tradition alive by hosting an intimate party at home with just herself and their daughter and her toys. "Every year we spent his birthday at home, just the three of us," Tanisha wrote in a caption under a birthday post dedicated to the actor. "He always said that was all he needed because it brought him the most joy to begin every new year of his life with us." The only other guests were our daughter's dolls and stuffed animals. Every single one was lined up in the dining room to celebrate with him. The Cosby Show actor passed away in July 2025 from an accidental drowning while vacationing with his family in Costa Rica. Little was known about Warner's personal life before his passing, as he was intentional about keeping his wife's and child's identities private. In the birthday post, Tanisha shared that being transparent about her pain is one way she's moving through the grief and honoring his memory. Today is his birthday, and we are breaking as we try to learn how to be here without him. I'm not hiding how much this hurts. My gift to him includes my pain, because pain this deep only exists where love ran that deep. So today I'm sharing this with you who loved him too, the gift he gave us. He loved us with his whole heart in ways I will never know again. Tanisha is currently in the rebuilding phase, but has experienced bumps in the road due to complications with the late actor's estate. In July, she filed a lawsuit against Malcolm's mother, Pamela Warner, who is the successor trustee of the late actor's family trust. According to Tanisha, Malcolm was in the process of creating a new estate plan to replace the one he established in 1996. The new one would include provisions for his wife and daughter, but unfortunately he passed before finalizing the documents. Consequently, she's left without the resources to support their child, especially given that she was a stay-at-home mom for years. During an interview with Gail King in July, Tanisha explained her need for financial support. "I have been struggling to care for our daughter as a single mom and now as her sole provider," she said. "Legally, I had no choice but to take action to protect our rights before any potential statute of limitations expired." The legal action refers to a filing in the DeKalb County Superior Court in Georgia, in which the widow sought $1,276,042.46 from Malcolm's estate. The requested amount would cover unfulfilled obligations Malcolm reportedly agreed to, such as a life insurance policy, which he never obtained, and other debts. She also has a filing in Los Angeles. According to Malcolm's mother, Pamela, a settlement was reached with her granddaughter's representatives. The 9-year-old will receive the majority of the trust and estate if the court approves. She also denies blocking her granddaughter from receiving financial support. In a released statement on her behalf, it said, "Malcolm was thoughtful and deliberate in his estate planning to include all his loved ones. While the trust at issue is in favor of Pamela, his father, and his sister, Malcolm provided for his wife and daughter separate and apart from that trust to the tune of millions of dollars. Before that settlement, a close friend of Tanisha's started a GoFundMe to help with housing costs and daily expenses." And for more about the GoFundMe, best friend of Malcolm Jamal Warner's widow starts GoFundMe for her daughter and her. Tanisha Warner's closest friend started a fundraiser on her behalf that has quickly drawn donations. And this article was written by the Essence editors. Tanisha Warner made her grief and financial struggles public in July as she marked a year since the loss of her husband, actor Malcolm Jamal Warner. Now her circle is speaking for Tanisha to request help with caring for the couple's daughter. Destiny Rail, who identified herself through a fundraiser set up on GoFundMe for Tanisha as her closest friend for 19 years, said she was starting the campaign because, "I have witnessed first up close the depth of Tanisha's grief and the weight she has to carry, and because I know she would never ask for this kind of support herself, so I am asking on her behalf." Rail detailed how, in addition to trying to manage her grief, Tanisha has been homeschooling their 9-year-old daughter, Mackenzie, which was something she says the couple wanted for their child. She has also experienced flooding to their marital home requiring repairs, which, of course, is costly. "She has stretched every resource she has and borrowed from people who love her just to keep one foot in front of the other," she wrote. "You may assume that Malcolm Jamal Warner's career left his wife and daughter financially secure. That was his intention. Malcolm had worked with his attorneys to update his estate plan to provide for his wife and daughter, but he passed away before he could sign it. They thought they had time." To make matters more complex, she noted that Tanisha had stepped back from her career in psychology years ago to care for their daughter. "The funds will help ease the financial strain, cover the expenses she is now facing, and provide security for Tanisha and her daughter as they work toward resolving Malcolm's affairs," Rail included. I am not asking anyone to take sides in a family matter that was never meant to be public. I'm asking you to stand with the grieving wife and mother and her young daughter so they don't lose what Malcolm always intended to provide for them. The campaign, set up on the 11th of August, has already raised $38,048 at the time of writing, with a goal of $40,000. More than 100 donations have been given, with the top contribution being a whopping $32,300. This drive comes as Tanisha has filed multiple actions in different states in order to access funds from his estate plan. It wasn't updated before his death in 2025 to reflect the fact that he'd been married and welcomed a child. That estate plan included the Warner Family Trust, dating back to 1996. Assets not placed into a direct trust were transferred into the Warner Family Trust after his death. The trust then would determine how assets are managed and allocated. Pamela Warner, the actor's mother, has become the successor trustee. One of Tanisha's filings stated that Malcolm hadn't fulfilled the obligations outlined in the couple's prenuptial agreement, including obtaining a $1 million life insurance policy with her as the sole beneficiary, providing her with a monthly salary, making anniversary payments, and contributing to retirement funding. In California, she filed an action on her daughter's behalf regarding the Warner Family Trust. You can read the full explainer of her legal filings in our story about Warner and Chadwick Boseman's estates, with her both in the news due to legal actions taken by their closest loved ones. We wish the entire family well, as this situation is incredibly sad and of great difficulty to navigate. As for the fundraiser, it's nice to see so many come to the aid of a grieving wife and daughter with such haste. Angelique Kidjo becomes the first African musician to receive Hollywood Walk of Fame star. This article is by Okla Jones. On August 18th, Angelique Kidjo received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, becoming the first African musician and first Black African honored with the distinction. The ceremony celebrated a career spanning four decades and brought several notable figures to Los Angeles, including Willem Dafoe and fellow Benin native Jumin Husu. Nigerian singer Adekunle Gold also attended, while Recording Academy CEO Harvey Mason Jr. helped honor Kidjo's contributions to music. Born in Benin, Kidjo left the country for Paris in 1983 amid political repression. Her music would eventually reach audiences worldwide, drawing from the sounds of her West African upbringing while incorporating elements of funk and jazz. She has released 18 albums and earned 17 Grammy nominations, winning five times. Her resume stretches far and wide as she performed during the opening ceremony of the Tokyo Olympics and received the Polar Music Prize in 2023. Time included her on its annual list of the world's 100 most influential people in 2021. She has also served as a goodwill ambassador for the UNICEF and Oxfam, while her Batonga Foundation works with girls and young women in Benin. Collaboration has remained a major part of the Beninese singer's career. Alicia Keys and Burna Boy are among the artists she has recorded with her latest album, Hope, brings together her with a new generation of performers. Released earlier this year, the project includes contributions from Pharrell Williams, Ira Starr, and Quavo, among others. We Africans just don't know what we've given to the world and what we continue giving to the world for music to exist, Kidjo said during the induction ceremony. Without us, there's no music possible on this planet. And we have run out of time for today's Essence. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Tyra Banks, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the